Yonapotl Kivanok listeners. A country over 1,000 years old, set in Central Europe, hosts the 10th round of the season, the Grand Prix of Morjorsagt, Hungary. The dusty Hungaroring, which turns in on itself, giving the drivers a big dose of understeer, continues to be one of the most highly attended Grand Prix of the year, maybe in part due to the beautiful babes of Budapest. This is a race that being on pole position does not automatically mean you'll get the win. But a lad in silver starting in P1 has done it before. Can he repeat it again and get the top trophy for his new team before F1's month-long break? Which driver is the most hungry for the win? Which will let the heat get to him? Stay tuned, listeners. This is Desiree, and this is your F1 Weekly Hungarian Grand Prix Racecast. Vislat!
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 633, August 8th, 2013. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by the rage of Stephen Age. The bulls have been slaughtered in Budapest. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, LCH says it's not over yet. Is Fernando growing tired of Ferrari's failure to provide him with a winning car? Another Massa incident in the opening laps of a race. And, of course, we've got a special conversation coming up with the president of F1 Weekly European Operations, Mr. Peter Brescia. And, of course, we've got Motorsports Mondial with the king of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid. And a bonus interview with Mr. Axel Jeffries, who partakes in a variety of series lately in the Indy Lights. Nass, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, man. Very good. Thank you. Hello to everyone. It had to happen. You can't keep a good man and a good driver down, and LCH did it.
You mean because the Pirelli tires are now working for Mercedes?
Whatever it takes, whatever it takes.
Yep, it was exciting.
Fantastic race.
Fantastic race. Kimi was outstanding. Romain Grosjean, competitive, outstanding, fast, staying out of trouble. Pretty impressive stuff. Fantastic weekend in the end, but very hot. And the new compound seems to be working well for a number of teams, except for Fernando, el hombre muy macho de España.
Well, you know, muy macho de hombre de España was, it was around his birthday, and they asked him what kind of a present he would want. And you know what he said was somebody else's car. Luca is not happy.
Yep.
His manager is now walking to Red Bull's motorhome. What's going on here with your hero, with your Dios?
Well, I don't think he's going to Red Bull. A lot of people said his manager, who also happens to manage Carlos Sainz Jr., that's what the conversation was about. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Fernando is a happy man. He gets his pasta served by Felipe Massa every day.
Yes, you know, funny you say that, because Felipe Massa, once upon a time before he became a professional racing driver, delivered pizza to Scuderia Ferrari at Interlagos. And this is true.
Oh, I know. But I hate to say it, he's still delivering pizza.
So I guess history repeat itself is true.
Exactly. Well, he was so good at it.
Yeah.
Very consistent.
I think he should. I know. Now I know why Nando is not winning. I think Massa has been slipping some anchovies in his slices.
That's true. But I love anchovies on my pizza.
That's a first.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. We'll see if they have some at Flames tonight.
Yes, that's where we're headed, folks.
Yes, exactly. But anyway, a fantastic weekend. the red lights were on, not only on the back of the cars, but up in the hills. And qualifying was exciting. Some of the usual suspects, but it was pretty interesting indeed. And Ricciardo doing an outstanding job trying so hard to get that Mark Webber seat.
And Jean-Éric Vannes is saying, I still have a chance, which I find it hard to believe. But we'll see how it goes.
Yes, I think it's hard to believe, too. I think Ricciardo, being an Aussie, he'll fit right in. They don't have to change the, you know, the stickers and all that, the food. It'll be just a simple. And to be honest with you, Mark Webber is obviously grumpy, crying a lot, which is his nickname now. But will Mark Webber finish this season, or will he be shown the door?
Well, you know, he's good friends with Christian Horner. Together, they own a team.
Absolutely.
I was thinking about Mark Webber the other day. You know, he's retiring. It's always sad to see somebody leave Formula One. But he's going out doing very good with a good team and has won a lot of races, has a lot of respect from a lot of fellow drivers, media, fans all over the world. It's one of those things. I mean, his only problem was same problem faced by so many other good drivers, whether they were David Coulthard or Eddie Irvine, the teammate. And if he had another teammate, apart from Kimi Raikkonen or LCH or a Nando, he probably would have won the championship.
That's very, very true.
But I still have to say he put himself in deep kimchi when he crashed out in the rain in the early stages of the Korean Grand Prix the year he was leading the championship for most of the season.
Very true. Your thoughts on qualifying for the Hungarian Grand Prix? Your boy Esteban Gutierrez got stuck and never got out of Q1. Paul De Rista not having a great weekend. He has said and has spoken about Force India maybe taking not only just one step backwards, but maybe two.
Yeah, well, you know, interesting, LCH was on pole. He did not even feature in the top three in any of the three practice sessions, but delivered when it mattered most. And frankly, as much as I wanted to see him win, I really thought Bastian will get the better of him.
I thought so too.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors flying around, reports about financial situations of different teams. Force India name comes up, but a lot of spotlight right now is on Lotus team. I don't know what's going on, Jenny Capital. I don't think they have a lot of cash in that big bottle they have.
I know. And they were complaining earlier in the week that the cost should go down in F1. No, we've always known that they don't have the capital that they really need to develop the car. So you have to give it to them. You have to tip your hat, raise your glass to Lotus F1 for doing such a great job.
Raise your Finlandia vodka,
yeah,
I say.
Doing such a great job with very limited funds.
Yeah, and you know what is also disturbing is news coming out that they are late in payments to Kimi Raikkonen, and he made a comment, well, this happened last year also. So, let's see what happens as we move forward closer to the 2014.
Yeah.
And the god of Formula One is also in trouble. He may face indictment, and a trial may start in September. So it's not looking good for some people in Formula One right now.
No, I agree. And not having Kimi paid on time is definitely a faux pas. He's got a lot of bills. He's got a lot of activities going on in the background. Pay him.
Yeah.
So there you have that. Also, Charles Peake, of course, Guido Vandegaard, Jules Bianchi, and Max Chilton all out in Q1. Q2, Adrian Sutil out qualifying his Boudreaux, which he needs to do. And both of these guys are a little, you know, they're a little bit sad right now because they're not doing as well as they thought they would be doing because they had some earlier races that really showed that Force India was a force to reckon with. And it's just not happening. And both of these guys might be out of F1 next year.
Oh, you never know. There are a lot of people knocking on the door. They're trying to get this Russian Sergei Sirotkin in. And Jules Bianchi, you know, has done a very good job with very little. He might step into some decent seat. And there are other people also knocking on the door. Let's see how it works out for Alexander Rossi. He's very hopeful of getting into your favorite dream, Caterham. And let's see what happens.
Yeah, no. I thought what was very impressive is Sergio Perez out qualifying Jenson Button. He gets into Q3, and Jenson Button does not.
Yeah, Sergio Perez has been a really, really big surprise for me on a very positive side, which is very impressive the way he has. So, you know, all the things that he was doing with Sabre when people were saying, well, he's finishing well because he starts outside the top 10 and runs on hard tires and blah, blah, blah. So it's all his starting position, but as we can see that he can take the fight to JB. JB is not, everybody thought, I mean, at least I thought that JB would be the darling of Woking once LCH was gone and the team would be all wrapped around him. But looks like there has been some cage rattling and Woking.
Well, I think they like the in-flight burrito.
Oh, absolutely.
A little hot sauce. It's pretty tasty.
Even though Joe Ramirez doesn't work there anymore.
That would have been a team to reckon with.
Yeah, but I think he brought some new tapito, you know, these bread.
Oh, you mean the
tortilla bread?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you, Nath. Keep up the good work. So, but still a very impressive grid. And I was really impressed with Romain Grosjean, P3. That's pretty good. Outqualified his teammate, which is what you need to do in the middle of the season. Also, Mark Webber, always struggling.
Well, I'll tell
whining
you.
Whining about Kurs. You know, there was always a problem. So he was P10. It always seems to happen to Mark, doesn't it?
It's going to be pain and suffering will be over soon. But if he's to go out and his team, if he's to go out without winning a race this year and his teammate wins quite a few races in the championship, it's hard to say that, you know, I always had a bad car. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Fernando Alonso in fifth. I should say Nico Rosberg, of course, in P4. Sixth, Kimi Raikkonen. P7, Felipe Massa. Daniel Ricciardo puts the Toro Rosso in the top 10. Perez in ninth, and Mark Webber, like I just said earlier, in P10. Pretty exciting qualifying. It's going to be a great race. It's fun. You have any little facts and figures you want to share with the people?
Well, we will in our segment called Brazier's Bean Counter.
Of course, and that's going to come up.
But as far as qualifying is concerned, this was fourth pole for LCH at this track. He seems to love this track.
Apparently he has a lot of success with this track, doesn't he?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
And he's always followed by the second by the same guy when he wins this race. That's pretty interesting.
That is very interesting. Yeah, him and Kimi have some kind of weird bonding thing going on.
ESPN calls it male bonding.
You call it male bonding?
ESPN.
ESPN. Okay. Well,
who am I?
You know, I'm not much into ESPN because for me, it's just me.
You know, talking of ESPN, Speed TV is pretty much done now. They've become Fox Sports 1. We wish them well. But what a sad story this is. This was a network call. I remember going to Double D restaurant here because in my area they did not have Speed Vision, which was started. Actually, Speed Vision was started by a gentleman, an executive from ESPN who was a big motor racing fan. And in those days, they would carry Formula One. Anytime I would go to a restaurant to watch this Formula One race, you go there an hour before, half hour, they would have all these great, you know, old motor racing movies from Castrol, History of Triumph at Le Mans, History of Alfa Romeo, History of Mille Miglia. Then they got bought out by Speed TV, by Fox, renamed it Speed TV. And they wasted no time in turning it into a complete stock car network. And I don't have a problem with network, stock car or drag racing, but you don't turn a motorsports network, everything into one series.
Well, they're not even doing stock cars anymore because they lost NASCAR.
Now they have lost that. And so the Speed TV is also gone. And apparently Bob Barsha will be on the final Wind Tunnel show, which was a show I really enjoyed with Dave Despain and all that. So it's a pretty sad event. We really need a motor racing network here where cars are turning right and left at least for 18 hours of the 24 hours.
Well, if we had the funds, we would do it, Nasser.
Yes.
Maybe next week.
F1 Weekly Network on TV.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Well, there is a thing called Public Network. We can get on, hop on that one if you like.
Yeah.
But it's a time issue, you know.
It is. We don't have the time nor the, you know, the resources. Let's get to race day.
The five lights are on.
Five lights are on. They go out. And it's a fantastic start for LCH. Outstanding start for LCH. I don't care what anybody says. This time, he didn't have Red Bulls going around him. He was out in front. And that's what he needed to do. And especially in this, as they say, Monaco-esque kind of a track, it's very hard to overtake here.
Yeah, but you know the thing I'll say about when you, as much as we enjoy watching live motor racing on TV. TV really do not do justice to tracks, especially when there is elevation changes involved. And you know that Hungaroring track, everybody calls it, even when I was talking to Zsolt Baumgartner, what was his name? Zsolt Baumgartner, right?
Yes.
We mentioned that this, people call it a Mickey Mouse track. And but it, you know, the straight goes down, and it's not a bad track. I mean, TV just not do justice. I'm sure it's not Spa, but it ain't that bad.
No, I agree. I like how Sebastian Vettel started squeezing Romain Grosjean to the left. You know, what's going, a little Schumacher activity there?
Well, you know, they all do that, especially when they don't
Fernando
have
Fernando doesn't do that.
Fernando doesn't do that? Well, he has been pretty squeaky clean on that.
Well, he hasn't been on pole for a long time.
No, he's
suffering.
I have to say, he's very squeaky clean on that issue, and so is Kimi Räikkönen.
Yeah, that's true. A terrible lap for Nico Rosberg, who runs wide, then rejoins the track. Kicking up some dust, Rosberg runs wide again, turns into Felipe Massa, and there you see some damage on Rosberg's rear tire, Felipe Massa's front wing. Massa, Felipe, what's going on in NASCAR?
You know what?
Racing incident, right?
Well, yeah. But between Massa and Weber, I really think they should open the door for Felipe Massa.
They should. Let's hope it happens soon.
Yeah, and you put in Bianchi or whoever they want to bring in next year. Get him. There is enough races, right? There are enough races left right now where they can groom a kid who has money, like a Jules Bianchi or Nico Hülkenberg. You know.
You know who else would really fit in, and he's got the right name and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Is Dario Franchitti's cousin
Paul Di Resta? I don't think.
You don't think he's got the
No, you know, he has not blown him. You have to blow away your teammate. He hasn't done that.
Well, he hasn't blown him away, but, you know, he doesn't have the package.
Yeah. No, but still, well, Sebastian Vettel didn't have much of a package at, what was it, Minardi or Toro Rosso, whatever.
It was Toro Rosso. Toro Rosso. Fernando was at Minardi.
Yeah.
So it was Kimi.
There you go.
So it was Felipe.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, I have to say, Felipe impressed me a lot when he was with Sauber.
I was just going to say Sauber.
Yeah.
And he should probably go back to Sauber.
Yeah.
I think he'll be happy there. Ferrari engines, they'll work something out. Team radio calls Nico Rosberg asking him if his tire is damaged due to Felipe's nose. Lap two. Also a great start for Fernando Alonso, holding off Felipe Massa, going on the outside. Very impressive. Up to fourth place. Massa surviving the damage from Nico Rosberg is in fifth. Lewis Hamilton leads Sebastian Vettel 0.7 seconds on the second lap. Lap five, Jenson Button is up five places. He had a great start. All of a sudden, he felt that in-flight burrito's not that bad after all.
Yes.
So I was very impressed with that. And that was from 13th on the grid. Paul Di Resta, he was up to 13th from 18th. And Lewis Hamilton is now pulling a couple of tenths per lap. Lap seven, there's a bit of a gap forming between the top three, which is Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, and Romain Grosjean. No more Crashado, just Romain, which I thought was pretty good. We all want to see Romain win. And even on our favorite channel here that covered the race, David Hobbs was hoping that Romain Grosjean would win this Grand Prix, and I did as well. So me and David are one on this concept. Lap 10, Lewis Hamilton pits from the lead. It's a decent stop by the Mercedes team. Outstanding, to be honest with you. Jenson Button's McLaren, who is running on the mediums, is unlikely to be pinning anytime soon, which is a good strategy, I think. Sebastian Vettel pumps in the lap times. In other words, trying to leapfrog Lewis Hamilton, but it ain't going to happen. Lap 11, Sebastian Vettel leads from Romain Grosjean, who is all over the back of the Red Bull. Very impressive stuff. Romain looked machismo, almost Sergio Perez-ish.
That is very true, and I've been a huge fan of Romain Grosjean over the years because of his tremendous success in winning championships. It will be very, very nice for Lotus, for him, and for Formula One to see him win a race.
And at this stage of the race, Romain in his Lotus F1 was a few tenths faster than the world champion. It was very, very impressive how well that car is doing. Lap 12, Sebastian Vettel pits for a new set of tires, and Romain Grosjean now leads the Hungarian Grand Prix. And you know, I have a question for you, and I don't mean to go off topic, but you know the F3 British Championship,
mm-hmm.
spot, and it's brought to you by Cooper Tires.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in England, they spell Cooper tires with an I, not a Y. What's happened to England?
No, because the American masters have told them to go their way. Our bombs,
really?
Our bombs are coming.
Wow. Wow, I was really surprised to see that.
Yeah, they have. I think they still have B-52 in the Algarve or Azores.
Azores? There's a couple of B-52s hanging out?
Yeah.
Well, those are pretty dependable.
Yeah, and talking of Cooper tires, the I, instead of having a dot, may have a red dot on it. It has been bought out by an Indian company now. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Cooper is no longer American?
No, it is very much American, as you are.
Oh, my goodness. You're just scaring me.
Fascinating world we live in, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
My favorite part on this corporate takeover is this Chinese company has bought Smithfield, which is a big pork producer in this country, and some people are trying to derail this thing on the grounds of national security. I had no idea pigs were so important. Pigs were posted at the border. I had no idea.
You did?
I don't know that.
Well, you should listen to this show more often, Nasser. Lap 14, Sebastian Vettel's race engineer, Rocky, one of your buddy, tells him to change and move out of Jenson Button's windstream or slipstream, get some cool air because he's overheating. And his teammate, Mark Webber, who started the race on the hard compound, is now leading the Grand Prix. It's not all bad, Nasser.
No. It's all good, and it's all, I think, heating up to a grand finale, been a very exciting grand finale, which I think we already know the outcome.
Yes, we do. Lap 19. Since Sebastian Vettel had to back off, he's now in the clutches of Romain Grosjean, who's trying everything to pass Sebastian Vettel. And this is what I like. And all this is battling out. Fernando Alonso and his Ferrari now is inching closer. And we're all rooting for Fernando. But unfortunately, Fernando and Ferrari, you know, he pissed off Montezemolo. You don't hear much from Domenicali anymore.
No, I think what has happened here, it's like that song, The Thrill Is Gone.
The Thrill Is Gone? B.B. King?
Yeah, Nando King is saying, and baby, you've done me wrong.
No.
And someday you'll be sorry when I drive for Red Bull.
Yeah, that's not good. Lap 20, there's contact between Felipe Massa and Adrian Sutil, which allows Kimi Raikkonen to get past the dueling duets. And it moves into eighth place. Sutil pits, and the team retires the car. Big bummer for Force India. Sutil, I don't know, maybe too much aggression, but you got to stop that. And they report that there's a big hydraulic leak, and that's it. Not a great way. Apparently, they were celebrating Sutil's 100th Grand Prix now, sir.
Yeah, that was impressive.
It was. Nobody even talked about that very much, did they? Why?
Well, because his last name is not Raikkonen or, you know.
But he's a great pianist. He's a pianist.
Yeah.
People don't like to say pianist. Yeah, I don't know why. It's not said anymore. So, whatever.
Can you say that one more time, please?
He's a pianist.
Cool.
Exactly. Lap 24. It's all kicking off as Sebastian Vettel forces his way past Jenson Button. At last, the start of a chain reaction as Romain Grosjean gets through a few corners later, pushing the McLaren driver close to the grass. And Jenson Button gets on the radio. Wah! Wah! Reminding me of some of my favorite movies.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, the importance of a good car for a good driver. I mean, look what's happening with Nando, what is happening with JB. When things were not going for LCH at McLaren, he was never a factor in winning races, so you got to have the right tools, you know.
I agree. And what's really impressive, and even Gary Anderson was commenting about it, is these tires seem to be lasting much better.
Which is good for Pirelli and good for more.
I think I completely agree. No more Coblamo tires. I think longer lasting tires makes Pirelli look better. Let's face it. And we get more of an exciting race, which is really important. Lap 28, Mark Webber is hunting down his friend Ferrari driver Fernando Alonso. Lewis Hamilton is basically kicking butte. Very impressive. And I'm impressed with the Ferrari. I mean, excuse me. Ooh.
Mercedes.
That was a Freudian slip. I meant the Mercedes.
Well, they had to. They have so many chiefs in the kitchen right now. They had to come up with a good dish sooner or later, you know.
Yes. No, I totally agree. Lap 31, Lewis Hamilton leads Sebastian Vettel by 12 seconds. Fernando Alonso third, Mark Webber fourth, Kimi Raikkonen is fifth. Romain Grosjean is sixth. Romain Grosjean is pounding out some fast laps. It's pretty exciting. You need a cup of coffee or something, Nasser?
No, I'm fine. I'm enjoying the talk.
Yes, I understand. Ferrari's Fernando Alonso pits on lap 35, which releases Lewis Hamilton into clear air. Sebastian Vettel pits as well and rejoins behind. Yep, you guessed it. Jenson Button again. It's funny, huh? I love that sort of thing. But it's that kind of a track. It's always going to be the Trulli Train. Remember the Trulli Train?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would like to see the Trulli Train in IndyCar racing. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he is a good guy.
Very impressive credentials through karting and
absolutely fantastic.
Junior
and it's and remember he tested a NASCAR and he was hanging around with the boys for like a little while. It just never materialized because you know what? It wasn't his bag. He'd rather be at home in the vineyard.
And you know that's what happens when you become teammate to Fernando Alonso.
Oh, Fernando, Heikki Kovalainen.
I feel sorry for those guys, you know.
Lap 39, Ness. The incident between Romain Grosjean and Jenson Button is under investigation. And, you know, I don't know. I think Romain Grosjean got the shaft in this race.
That was
especially the one between him and Felipe Massa. He gets a drive-through penalty. What was that all about?
This is ridiculous. Unless it's like a completely out of control. You know, the penalties, when they sat him down last year, right? When he crashed into Nando, your hero. I mean, I can understand those kind of penalties, but this kind of thing is completely ridiculous.
It is. I think it's completely ridiculous. Felipe Massa thought it was completely ridiculous. Everybody thought it was completely ridiculous. And I think a lot of these penalties, I think they need, you know, Charlie Whiting needs to step in. Hey, that will be decided after the race. Do not screw up this guy's race.
Exactly.
You know, that's the whole point. Decide after the race. You know, if you want to fine him or you know, I don't know, take away his in-flight burrito, whatever you want to do. But don't ruin the race for the guy. He's put in a lot of effort into this Grand Prix start, did an outstanding job. And this really ruined his race.
Yeah, yes. It was a silly penalty.
Yes, it was terrible. Lap 45, we've got yellow flags, Valtteri Bottas, and we've got a good Kablamo.
Yeah, it's very rare, though.
Yeah, it is very rare.
And it's another thing, you know, these days when somebody is leading a race or running away or whatever, you know that either he makes a mistake or somebody puts on the turbo and passes him. Kablamos you cannot count on normally.
Yes. And at this stage of the game, Hamilton leads by 15 seconds in front of Vettel, who's held up running behind Button, who's on a two-pit stop strategy, which is pretty impressive. And with Bottas out, it's Hamilton, Vettel, Weber, Alonso, Grosjean, Raikkonen, Button, Massa, and Rosberg, and Crashado. Crashado's in the top 10.
He has disappeared from the radar, I have to say.
It is. It's sort of strange.
You don't even see him crashing now.
No more crashing. He's not, you know, chopping it up with Fernando anymore. And he had that one win, and you know what? It's going to be like Olivier Panis, one win in your career. Or like my buddy, Mr. Motivacion.
No, but you know, his win was very impressive.
It was very exciting.
It was in Spain, and who was second?
Fernando.
That tells you that that was not just a Mickey Mouse win.
It wasn't Mickey Mouse?
Yeah. But you know, the way he is and where he is now, I think it's going to be very hard to come up with another way. Because, you know, where is he going to go with his money to Lotus? Are they going to do?
Well, they could use the money, but he's just not that impressive. He might stay at Williams. You know, next year is a development year with the new Mercedes package.
Pat Simmons being there, that is their last hope, I think.
Absolutely. If Williams can't put something together with Pat Simmons on board, I don't know. It's time for Frank to retire.
Yeah. You know, I still think, you know, because nobody's getting younger as the years go by, I still think, you know, when they had the BMW as an engine supplier, they should have morphed it themselves into a BMW team. We all know how that worked out.
I agree. Lap 51, Lewis Hamilton pits for what should be his final stop, and he gets a little bit of a wheel spin as he accelerates away from the box, rejoins right behind Mark Webber, but still a great job from Sebastian Vettel, who is now leading the race by 7.6 seconds from Lewis Hamilton. Mark Webber and Kimi Raikkonen, Fernando Alonso is fifth, Grosjean sixth, and Jenson Button is seventh. Lap 56, Sebastian Vettel, of course, has to pit again from the lead. It's a good stop. Red Bull stops are unbelievable. Their pit stops are the best. Mercedes are good, Ferrari okay, but you have to admit, Red Bull, they know what they're doing.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. Sometimes it's just your day, and when you're hot, you're hot. And looks like right now, it's just it will take quite a bit to basically have to take away Adrian Newey to another team to beat them.
Absolutely. But an outstanding race. Lewis Hamilton does just a great job holding off Sebastian Vettel, who really just can't keep up. And really, the last few laps, once again, Sebastian Vettel, you know, for me, you saw it right there. Kimi Raikkonen, Sebastian Vettel. Vettel starts making mistakes. Kimi Raikkonen didn't lock up his wheels once, Nasser. Kimi Raikkonen said, no way, no German is going to pass this Finn. I've got a bottle of Finlandia for second waiting for me, and I'm going to get it. It was very impressive. Great last laps, the way Sebastian Vettel was just trying to get that second position on the podium and just couldn't do it. Was locking the locking up the brakes, going wide, gave that breather for Kimi Raikkonen to keep it going, and that was a great another second for Kimi Raikkonen behind LCH. I don't know why, but there's some manliness going on there. But a fantastic third for Sebastian Vettel because he retains the lead in this championship. But Kimi leapfrogs Fernando Alonso.
Yes.
Machismo. Go ahead, Nas. Tell me.
Yes, sir. And Kimi Raikkonen, you know, as always, not much to say, but a lot to deliver. And that's, I like the racer name and also, of course, you know, two or three other top-line drivers in the season this year. Winning the season opener and 5 second places have put your man Kimster in second place. And I think that's what really pissing off Fernando Alonso, that he's not falling behind.
He is.
And imagine where Kimi would be if he was at Red Bull. He will have as much interest in multi 2-1 as he has in talking to the media. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Just get on with the job of driving a race car, and in his own word, everything else is bull caca. And that's gaming for you. But very impressive how he held on to the second place and also stayed out of trouble despite his starting position. So the man is a tremendous racing talent. And no wonder there are rumors that he may go back to Ferrari, which I don't think will happen.
I don't see that happening either.
Well, I have to say this about Nando. It might be worth going to Red Bull. At least he will have a chance to win the championship.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I think he could whip some German ass.
No, he can. And he for sure can outfox and outsmart.
Oh, absolutely.
The championship, which he almost did with LCH, had it not been for, you know, a couple of, let's just say, human mistakes.
Yeah, they're very human. Maybe a couple of text messages too many. And I blame it all on his physio.
Yeah, well, you know, it's that. I remember when talking to Matt Bishop, you know, some years ago, that would have been an incredible achievement, you know, to leave a team after winning back-to-back championships, come into another team, win another one. Very impressive.
You know, I also noticed that Fernando Alonso and Pedro de la Rosa are pretty chummy. They're always hanging out and giggling, playing with Legos and stuff.
I haven't seen his Russian chica during the race.
He's getting rid of her.
Really?
Yeah, he realized she's too skinny. He wants a little more junk in the trunk.
Wow, so she's back in the gulag?
Exactly. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. And, you know, Nando, doing what he can to stay in the hunt despite not having started a race this year from the front row, which was very surprised when I saw that. Now that I don't know where he will go or where he will stay, but I think we'll find out by Monza. And I think this is just my very humble opinion. You know, I always have humble opinions. Have you noticed that?
I did notice that.
Yeah. So I think there are only 3 drivers on the grid this year who can win a championship with Vettel as teammate. Nando, for sure, one of them. He can outfox Vettel, but it will not be a Flavio-arranged walk in the park, as was with Fisico. Once a year you say bravo, bravo to Fisico, and then say, okay, go make some cappuccino.
He was good at the cappuccino machine.
And you know who the other two are who can rattle the Vettel cage?
Kimi?
Si, senor.
And who else?
Come on. You should know of all the people.
Okay, we'll give LCH a shot.
Yes.
Machismo, huh?
Yeah,
maybe LCH should go.
I call
there.
Him the pussycat dog.
Ooh. Rawr.
Yes.
Okay, well, that sounds good. I like that.
And Massa, the final word on him, to borrow a phrase from Bertie Higgins, was starting in his own lately show, as always, sailing away from Captain Nando. I mean, that's pretty sad story there.
I don't know
what has happened there. I don't know if that head injury did more damage than we think. But I think the reality is, I just cannot see him beating Nando or Raikkonen as a teammate or LCH. That's one of those things.
No, those days are over.
Yeah.
It's time to go back to the pizzeria.
And Pastor Maldonado, first point of the season for the Venezuelan and also for his team. His Williams teammate, Valtteri Bottas, experienced his first F1 DNF and now knows the feeling of being a complete unknown.
Wow.
But no Sammy Skat on his shoulder.
No. But still, I was happy for Williams to finally get a point.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very storied name. Gosh. And Frank Williams, you know, Clark, many, many years ago, this is when, remember Grand Prix Racing magazine that used to come out? We're talking early, mid-80s. He was interviewed. It was quite an in-depth interview, and I really, really enjoyed reading that back in Cape Town. And some years ago, I was, I don't know if it was on, I think it was one of those, I have some old videotapes of Grand Prix history and stuff like that, and there's an interview of Frank Williams, which must have been done long before he became successful with, you know, winning races. And he's talking about, you know, saying that I've been a mechanic, I've been a driver, now I'm an entrant, and he says, I would not even know what to do with my life if there was no motor racing. Now, that's my kind of a guy. So I really want to see his team succeed, especially in his later years. And I want to see something happen with that team which makes it financially stable and come back winning.
Fantastic.
And you know, Ayrton Senna also drove for this team.
Briefly.
Briefly, yes.
Yes. Thoughts on Grosjean?
Well, you know, I'm very happy that he is showing some, on a regular basis, what we have seen him in F3, GP2. And I want to see a good driver win. You know, same thing with Nico Hülkenberg. And I remember talking to his team owner in Formula BMW. They tell me that this kid is as good as Sebastian Vettel. You have to get into this kid would be Grosjean, Hülkenberg. They have some experience, and Bianchi does not. But between Hülkenberg and Romain Grosjean, I would like to see Ferrari give a first-class ticket on Alitalia to Sao Paulo for Massa, and then let them race four or five. Because four or five races for these guys in a Ferrari, they have now a couple of years of experience. They may get used to the what Niki Lauda would call spaghetti culture.
Yes, exactly.
And may, you know, do very well in 2014.
No, I think that's a good idea. No.
And I have some good news for you, and this is, again, a humble opinion. Renault has always built very good turbo engines, right?
Mm.
I will not be surprised, even though everybody's saying Mercedes will have the best engine, I don't know, but I will not be surprised if a turbo engine is used to make a German go 5-5. We've seen that movie before, and they were also involved with Schumi's championship.
Very much so.
Yes. Yeah,
so. Exciting.
So
I can get my Renault hat dry cleaned and ready to go?
Yeah, and you know, just order some Beck's beer to celebrate or enjoy more German success.
Okay. Keep up the good work, Nas. Kimi Raikkonen?
What do you want me to say about it? I've already talked about it.
Oh, yeah. Now, when do you want to talk to Peter Brazier? Do you want to do it after the Motorsports Mondial or before the Motorsports Mondial?
Well, let's take a look here. Let's do it right now. This is Mr. Brazier from Leighton Buzzard, England area, giving us some facts and figures on the Hungarian Grand Prix. And I thank him for his time.
Mr. Brazier, welcome to your show. How are you today, sir?
I'm very well, thank you, Nazir. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Hungarian Grand Prix is history. I'm sure there was some pain and suffering for you by the gentleman who won the race. But we're here to talk about facts and figures. What is the most significant factoid from the 2013 Hungarian Grand Prix?
Well, it was a great race, wasn't it? I thoroughly enjoyed watching it. Tyres played their part, but not too much. It was great. But moving on from that, there's a couple of significant statistics that came out of the race that surprised me. I think those that visit the forum will see I always post a bunch of statistics after each race, which I glean from the internet from various sources. But the fact that this race was Lewis Hamilton's 30th pole caught my attention because it makes him only the seventh driver to have 30 or more poles. And I was it kind of surprised me. He draws level with Damon Hill on 30 poles. I've got the list in front of me here. We got Nigel. Sorry, he draws level with Damon Hill on the number of wins as well. We'll talk about that in a second. But on 30 poles, here's a pop quiz for you, Nazir. Who's got more than 30 poles? There's six more people.
Well, of course, you know, the top, you know, Schumacher, Senna, and then I would say Sebastian Vettel has also crossed 30, I believe, right?
That's right. He's at 39. Yeah. Yeah, you got Schumacher at 68, Senna at 65, Vettel at 39, Jim Clark then at 33. And considering his short career, That's quite amazing. Alan Prost, 33. Nigel Mansell, 32. So Lewis is up there. That's quite an exclusive club.
And you know, it's impressive both for him and Sebastian Vettel. They are still in their young career, you know, very impressive.
Very, very much. And, you know, there's going to be some records broken, and some of those records that we thought Michael Schumacher had knocked up and closed the book on.
Yeah. Now, I have to ask you, given your love for, unconditional love for LCH that we witness on the forum and during the Skype thing, of the 70 laps, how many times you said, I want a gun blowed up on his Mercedes?
Well, Jensen wasn't close enough to take advantage of that. And of course, it was a great race. I mean, I love a great race. You love a great race. And obviously I've got my favourites and everything. But no, I thought it worked out well. I'll tell you what, another interesting thing, and this is just one of those coincidence issues. Hamilton's won there four times, as we know, because I think anybody that watched the race, the commentators were constantly going on about how well he did at that race. But also, did you know that every race he's won there, all four of them, Kimi Raikkonen was second each time?
Yeah, and that has become quite a joke, and I've seen a lot of pictures of all the four podiums. Very interesting. Now,
another interesting Hamilton fact I've gleaned was that he has now won a race in each of his seven seasons, and only one other driver has done that. Do you want to guess who?
I'm on the grid this year.
No, throughout his career. This is Hamilton's seventh season, and he's won a race in each of those seven seasons. Only one other driver has ever won a race in every one of his first seven seasons.
Fangio?
Absolutely right. Well done.
Thank you.
That's quite an interesting fact. And, you know, it's obviously, there aren't many people nowadays who get their first season in a top team.
Right.
So whether or not that's going to continue, we don't know. But the way Formula One is at the moment, it seems that they make these drivers work an apprenticeship before they get in a top seat.
I have a question for you now.
Staying
on the Mercedes LCH team, with Rosberg winning two, it was just a matter of time before Lewis gets his one. First win off with Mercedes. End of the season, who do you think will have more wins, Lewis or Nico?
It would seem that Lewis is settling into that team a lot better now. It would be silly to bet against Lewis Hamilton in any circumstance, against any opposition. I'll tell you what, I've got a lot of respect for Nico now. Rosberg seems to be really have sort of cemented his reputation now, because everybody knew never really knew whether he was any good or not. But he's holding his own against Hamilton. But like I say, you'd be a fool to bet against him, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Okay. Anything? Any other interesting factoid apart from the Mercedes team and LCH and Nico?
Well, Williams finally got a point.
That was very good.
Which is good, because that's just been a horror story. That's all I've got down on my list. There's both Force Indias broke down. Talk about uber reliability in Formula One nowadays. Cars do break down, and of course we had who blew up? Who had the big engine failure?
A question for you. You know, all this hoo-ha that's going on that Alonso is going to go to Red Bull. Are you buying any of that?
No, someone's stirring a big pot there. I'm sure he wouldn't go to Red Bull whilst Vettel's still there. I'm sure Vettel wouldn't want him there. I'm sure Christian Horner and Helmut Marko wouldn't want the trouble that would bring. And it would bring trouble. I mean, 2007 McLaren just demonstrates that. And I think Fernando would be silly to jump ship again. He'll be... unless there's some guarantee that Nui's going to stay there. But no, I think there's something going on. I read in one of Joe Saywood's blogs that there was a timing issue with everybody's contracts, and Sebastian Vettel did a rather unusual step in extending his contract by 1 year. And it was apparently to create a situation where the top drivers, so Richard Lewis, Alonso, Sebastian, and I think Raikkonen is in that mix, that all their contracts expire at the same time. And that creates a super silly driver market situation. And whether or not this is a move to preempt that situation coming up and to stir the pot a bit, whether it's, it could be Ferrari trying to destabilize Red Bull or Red Bull trying to destabilize Ferrari. We don't know, but it makes for some great headlines, and we've got a few weeks now before our next race, so it gives them something to talk about, doesn't it?
Exactly. Now, I'm reading on your post on the F1 Weekly forum. It says, Kimi Raikkonen equals Senna and Schumacher for Hungarian podiums at 7. Obviously, very impressive. Anytime you can do anything equaling or bettering Senna or Schumacher, do you think he has a chance to win the championship?
Oh, of course. Oh, he's still going to be favourite, surely. Sorry?
Kimi Raikkonen?
Oh, sorry. No, I thought you were talking about Sebastian Vettel. No, I don't think so. That car's just not consistently fast enough. It's fast enough on occasions to get him up there and get him lots of podiums and the win that he's had. But I don't think it's not. He's fighting against a supremely talented, top of his game Vettel in what is still unquestionably the best car. And he's also fighting now a very, very competitive Mercedes with two competent drivers. And you can never count Alonso out. So they will constantly be, all of them will constantly be taking points away from Raikkonen. So as much as I'd love to see it, I don't think there's a hope of him taking the title this year.
Yeah, and you know, this thing you're saying that he's taking points from Kimi and Lewis from Nico and Nico from Lewis. It all equals to one single beneficiary.
Absolutely. And that's why we could have four in a row.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as Nando trying to go to Red Bull, I'm sure he will have a much better, faster car than what he has right now and will win a lot of races, maybe even a championship. But, you know, going there, he's going to find nothing but a German Lewis. So, and I don't know if he wants to go back to that theater.
And I think he'd find it a worse situation that he had with Lewis at McLaren, and Lewis being Ron Dennis's golden boy, he's got Helmut Marko to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, it would be explosive. I mean, I'd love to, from a spectator's point of view, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, Kimi will really fit in there because, you know, he's not going to care what Helmut Marko, Dietrich Mateschitz, Christian Horner has to say. He's just going to do his thing. And talking of Kimi, again, I'm looking at this. This was his 150th podium for the, you know, nation of Finland, which, you know, it's amazing. Finland has produced 3 world champions. Now we have 150 podiums from Finnish drivers. And I just find it mind-blowing that this nation is joined second in producing number of world champions behind just your nation and joined second with Brazil.
And half those podiums belong to Kimi, of course.
Yeah, that's very, very impressive.
I know, I think Kimi would be foolish to go there because although he doesn't care what Helmut Marko might say, he would care what he does.
Yeah.
And the blatant and obvious preferential treatment for Vettel, and the friction that causes within the team. I think they will discover next year how fortunate they are to have the mild-mannered Mark Webber there. Get someone else in there who's got any kind of force about him. And there will be fireworks. They've surely got to take one of their young drivers. They've got such a resource available to them there of young drivers. They must take one of those people. They'd be stupid not to.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing that, you know, they have a saying this, be careful what you wish for just might come true. And Daniel Ricciardo or whatever the name is, obviously he is very keen to go there. And I think he will do very well. But it's one of those situations, man, you get in, and if you cannot perform against, if he's going to perform, if it happens that he's going to be the Australian Heikki Kovalainen against Sebastian Vettel, then you know how quickly the Marco Machete flies.
The Marco Machete, I like it.
Yeah. Just ask Liuzzi and Bordet and Speed.
Yeah.
And among the rookies, anybody has impressed you?
I'll tell you what, it's been notable in the fact that no one's standing out, apart from Ricciardo, of course. No one's stood out for me.
Yeah, you know, the guy who's doing a pretty decent job, I was really expecting a lot from, well, when I say a lot as a rookie, from Esteban Gutierrez, but he is really, really struggling against Nico Hülkenberg.
Yep.
And talking of Sauber, what do you make of this Sergei Sirotkin comrade coming in from Russia with some love and lots of money?
That's astonishing, isn't it? How old is he? 17?
17, yeah, about turning 18, something like that.
So he doesn't even have a road car license. It's amazing. I mean, it's where will it end?
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of with Formula One. You know, you don't want to see, you know, 70% of the grid racing because daddy is writing a check every 6 months.
He's there because of the Russian money. He's there because of his wealthy parents. And he's there because various Russian organizations and people have thrown a lot of money at Sauber.
Moving to Romain Grosjean. You think he will win a race this year?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, he has the speed. He just needs to put the package together.
He did very well on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, just a couple of stupid mistakes. Bizarrely, he was punished for the one that I thought he was not to blame for. The one he was to blame for, the move on button, he didn't get punished for.
Yeah, it's you know, these are really, really silly. Either penalty that really pisses me off to this day, two of them actually. One of them was when Massa complained about Alonso at Monza in qualifying when Alonso was with Renault. And the other was, which was one of the greatest finishes, was the Belgian Grand Prix when Kimi Raikkonen and Lewis Hamilton went like junkyard dogs and Kimi crashed. You remember that race?
Yeah.
And I remember after Lewis was disqualified, I mean, I remember Massa's comment after the race, who became the winner, was, "I was driving like a grandma." I mean, he was going so slow. Okay, no, we're very excited, and we have a long vacation now for motor racing, at least Formula One. You have some thoughts on our imminent trip to Spa-Francorchamps? What's going on in terms of preparation?
I'm just looking forward to it. I've already started packing the car. Our car park tickets are in there, and we're ready for you to get over here to the UK. Three of us will get in the car and head for Spa.
And will you tell us how we're going there? I think that should be interesting, and maybe some other folks can do this some other time.
Yeah, it's called the Eurotunnel. It's a train. Everybody knows there's a tunnel underneath the English Channel now linking England to France. It's about 25 miles long, I think it is. But it's a wonderful service. I've used it quite a lot. You literally drive up and drive onto a train that's specially modified, and you sit in the car, and 30 minutes later, you arrive, and you have to drive on the other side of the road.
And this train is just for cars and trucks?
Just for cars and trucks, yeah.
And you're sitting in your car while the train is moving?
Absolutely.
That's beautiful.
You can't see any water outside the windows.
Wow.
It's nicely sealed.
Yeah, cool.
And
once we land in Clark Rogers Paradise, what's the route we're taking, if you want to mention that a little bit, please?
Yeah, we arrive in Calais. We're not in France for very long. We head straight along the coast to Dunkirk, and then we turn inland, and I think we cross the border into Belgium pretty soon after that. And then we head down into the beautiful Ardennes Forest. I think it's about a four-hour journey. We'll stop on the way, I'm sure. May even pass some sites of historical interest.
Yeah, this will be fun, and look forward to it. And hopefully we'll do a sort of a podcast recording while we are driving and also while we are at Spa. That should be fun.
We shall do something from Eau Rouge for sure.
Yeah, that would be fun. Okay, sir, any parting shots, any comments, any message for fellow familia members?
Well, we got this big long break coming up now, so I think everybody come on the forum, talk about anything, and YouTube is going to be the savior. Look for obscure clips on YouTube, post them on the forum.
Yeah, that should be good. You know, post your favorite so we can see what everybody is enjoying and we can also enjoy it. That should be fun.
Absolutely.
Okay, Mr. Brazier, we thank you for your input, and we will talk to you in person in a few weeks.
Very soon. Okay, Nazir, thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Swami, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Greetings and racing regards. We have some peaches and herbs here. McLaren and Magnussen reunited and feeling so good. Jans and Kevin racing in World Series by Renault this year, and this is his second year in the series. Maybe on the F1 grid next year. He is part of the McLaren Young Driver Development Program, and the team is seriously looking to place him possibly at Marussia or some other team. Kevin at the moment is leading the championship and raced hard against Felipe Nasr for the British F3 Championship. Both won same number of races, but Cousin took the title. Would you like to see? That's one kid I would like to see in Formula One next year.
It'd be good. I'd love to see that name back in F1.
And he's a very good racer. This is not like daddy writing a check and, you know, I'm going to come and...
Yes, there's results.
Yeah, exactly. Talent. Okay. GP2 feature race, also known as Hapidos, from Budapest. Tom Dillman from your country, the Alsace region, started from pole, but this was very, very impressive win by Julian Palmer, who started 7th. His Carlin team made the right call on the tire strategy, and after some tremendous dicing with Marcus Ericsson, which is really worth watching on YouTube, Palmer took the lead and was gone. Ericsson was 2nd and Felipe Nasr fought off a late charge from Fabio Laimer to claim 3rd. Sprint race was won by your homeboy, Nathaniel Berthon of Francia. Mitch Evans from New Zealand was 2nd. He is the 2012 GP3 champion. Fabio Laimer of Switzerland was 3rd. Championship leader Stefano Coletti failed to score any points in Hungary, which has allowed Felipe Nasr to close the gap to 6 points, with 4 races to remain from 2 rounds, 2 each at Spa and Monza. Cousin has a very good chance of becoming the first Brazilian Hapidos champion. And Fabio Laimer is not too far behind. So it will really come down to who does not make mistakes in the remaining. Because if you drop back now 10-20 points, it will be very hard. GP3 winners were Aro Vainio of Finlandia in race 1 and Robert Vizoyu, or something like that, of Romania in race 2. They also have 4 races to run, and it is tight at the top. Tio Alinas of Cyprus leads 91-90 over Facu Regalia of Argentina. Last year, in a very, very thrilling race at Monza, Tio ruined on the hopes of Daniel Abt, chances of becoming a champion in his rookie season in GP3, and Daniel Abt is now in GP2. And I would really recommend it if somebody wants to see some fantastic, exciting race. It was just like the 2007 Brazilian Grand Prix. I mean, this guy, Mitch Evans, had everything that could go wrong with him and was going to lose the championship. And in the closing stages, Tio Alinas passed Daniel Abt and handed the championship to Mitch Evans. So, very interesting. Now, this was very, very... and we have to see, you know, the season is ending at Monza, if Tio will get a taste of his own medicine at the Temple of Speed. And it will be exciting.
Very exciting.
And, you know, I don't know if you're watching Formula One on Sky TV.
No, I'm watching it on television.
Yeah, because they are showing, of course, GP2 races.
Oh, but so is... You have to catch it. They show it at a strange time.
Yeah, but they're also showing the GP3 races live.
Wow.
On Sky TV, which I've been watching on the web. Fantastic. Now, this was very interesting. It really takes back to the early days of my interest in motor racing. Fittipaldi wins at Brands Hatch. In 1969, a young Emerson Fittipaldi won his first European race in Europe, a Formula Ford 1600 event at Brands Hatch in beautiful Kent countryside of England. On July 27, 2013, a few weeks ago, at the same location, the same helmet colors were winning a race again. This time, the driver was his grandson, Pietro Fittipaldi, in a Formula 4 race. This is a new series this year. And past week, an American racer from SoCal, Mr. Charlie Kimball, took his first IndyCar win at Mid-Ohio, so congratulations to him. And we interviewed him when he used to race in Formula 3 in Europa.
That was a long time
ago. And, you know, another name from the past, PK, not the Nelsinho, but his brother also won some karting event in Italy recently. I think his name is Pedro PK. So there's another PK coming.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. The third coming of PK.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And he's keeping, this kid is smart. He's keeping his car away from the barriers.
Really?
Yeah. I've noticed that in karting.
Who's his manager?
I think Papa.
Yeah, and Papito.
Yeah, Papa, manager, and sponsor.
That's fantastic, Ness. That's actually good news. We want more of these.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited that Austria is coming back on the calendar.
That's exciting.
At the track that was once known as Österreichring, then A1 Ring, and now Red Bull Ring. It's a beautiful, beautiful location. This is one track I would love to go in Austria, also the country I would like to go very much.
The hills are alive with music.
That's what they say, and there's nothing better than the sound of motor racing.
That's the music I was talking about, Nas. Keep up the good work. An outstanding Motorsports Mondial, but now we have the double bonus.
The Axel Jeffries.
Correct.
You know, one thing I really enjoy about motor racing, when I started following, you know, 1973, we had a Scottish driver in an English team, American tires, French sponsor Elf. Goodyear was the tire company. Then we had a Brazilian driver with Lotus, Swedish driver with Lotus, Firestone tires, and people from all over the world to make a winning combination. And now with the way the world has become, you're seeing drivers, a lot of ladies are coming into racing. Some are good, some are not so quick. But we have drivers coming from all parts, the Indian Grand Prix drivers, and we have Marlon Stockinger from Philippines, and this is a gentleman from Zimbabwe, Axel Jeffries, and he is the first driver who contacted F1 Weekly for a chit-chat, so we thank him for that, and we've stayed in touch, and this year he has worked out a deal courtesy of Honda America to do some racing here, and he has raced previously in Formula 2 and Formula BMW, was very good in karting. He was supported by Toyota in South Africa. Now Honda is helping him out, and his first race was this past weekend at Mid-Ohio. And like anybody who comes to this fantastic place, he is loving America. And we talk about the usual, you know, choices you have in America. So I thank Axel Jeffries for his time. Please enjoy this conversation, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you.
Mr. Axel Jeffries, please.
How are you doing, Nasir?
Very good, thank you. It's early morning here, 11 a.m. on a Saturday in California. Where are you, young man?
I'm in Indianapolis. It's actually quite a nice day today. The weather's out. Going to go for a run in a bit, so I'm enjoying it.
That's good. How long you've been in the U.S. now?
I've been here for just under 3 months. So it's been quite. It was actually my first time coming to the States, and I've stayed for so long, but it's been pretty awesome.
This is our standard question, people coming to America. First of all, welcome to America. What is your choice, hot dogs or cheeseburgers?
Cheeseburgers, but without the cheese. I don't like cheese.
Cheese, okay, cool. Okay, so tell our listeners, first of all, thank you so much for contacting me, and it's good to talk to you and see you, and I've been following your career with Facebook and when you were in Formula 2. Tell our listeners, what brings you to America?
Well, thank you for having me for starters. But I got an opportunity from Starting Grid and American Honda to come and do a race in Indy Lights. It was about February that they got in contact with us. So obviously it was really exciting. Had never been here, never raced here. Indy Lights, it's only one step below IndyCar, so it's a good opportunity as well to showcase yourself. So due to a few things with F2 being cancelled, that kind of messed up our plans a little bit for this year. So we had nothing else going on, and it was an exciting opportunity, and we grabbed it with both hands.
Good. Now, I note with interest that when you were in South Africa, you had support from Toyota. Now, here in America, you have support from Honda. So I've seen drinking some sake and enjoying some beef jerky lately.
For sure. I'm really grateful. I've been very lucky in my career that I've had support from such big organizations. And, you know, I was surprised when Honda called and asked us to come and, you know, and do this, because Honda's such a massive company. So it was big, and I hope I can make them proud. It's a Honda event as well in Mid-Ohio, so they'll have a lot of guests there. So I'll definitely do my best to make them proud.
Okay, now what's the... what are you going to do at Mid-Ohio? Is this like a test and evaluation race for you, or are you going to do more races here this year?
I want to do more races. That's for sure.
Shocking.
But yeah, for sure, it's if I do well, that will open up doors for us, and we should be able to do more races. We're working on trying to do a couple more races this year. But without a doubt, if I had to go and finish on the podium, that will open doors, and I'm sure with the exposure that Starting Grid and American Honda will get, they will definitely be interested in, and they've shown interest in supporting us for further races.
Forgive me for asking again, will this be an Indy car race or an Indy light event?
Indy lights event.
Okay.
It's supporting the Indy car event, though.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the series. I think that's a good move.
Yeah.
I think that Indy Light is going to be very comparable to a Formula 2 car. So
yeah.
I think you will do well. And good thing is you're making your debut on a road course.
Exactly.
The cars are turning right and left instead of going in circles where, you know, there's much room to no runoff area, you know.
Yeah, so, no, for sure.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic track, Mid-Ohio. I've seen a lot of races there on TV.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic place. And, you know, don't forget, Bobby Rahal is from that area, and he owns a Honda dealership, and he runs a program in sports cars for BMW also.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a lot of exciting opportunities here. That's, you know, definitely one of the things I've noticed while I've been here.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing about the U.S. You will always have opportunities if you are willing to put in the, you know, the work.
Yeah.
I know you're a good, hardworking man, so hopefully, you know, things will work out for you. So now, looking forward to, tell us a little bit about your impression of America. Indianapolis is, of course, Midwest. But
it's, yeah.
And I've been there. I went to all the F1 races there. I'm sure you've been to the museum.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's
of the turbine car.
It was awesome. It was really, really awesome. The whole, my whole impression of being here, you know, it was completely different to what I thought. It's so laid back. Everyone is so friendly. Like, you just walk past people, people talk to you. You know, it's completely different to some parts of Europe. So you know, I've been welcomed really well into the States. I've had such a good time that I want to live here, to be honest. I've enjoyed it that much. And I've gotten so well with the team as well. The guys at Brian Hertz are a very, very nice group of guys. And as I say, they've taught me a lot, and it's been good.
Now, when you tell somebody that, hey, I'm from Zimbabwe, has somebody responded by saying, by asking, is that in Georgia or Florida?
No, for sure. I mean, a lot of people have heard of Zimbabwe, yeah. But, you know, the easiest way to explain is everyone knows South Africa, so it's just north of South Africa. But, yeah, no, it's been an eye-opener to most people.
Yeah. Oh, wait till you go to places like New York City, Las Vegas. Florida is fantastic.
I can't wait.
And, of course, the left coast, you know, California. Are you planning for a visit here?
I have to go back on the 5th of August, so the day after the race. I have another event there's the UNWTO, which is being hosted in Victoria Falls. So there's an event that I have to go to, which I'm looking forward to. Well, and then after that, I have a race in South Africa. But then we're looking at coming back and doing some more races, possibly Houston and Baltimore.
Okay. And, yeah, Baltimore is fantastic. Houston is a street race, you know, very nice. And
yeah.
What race is that you're doing in South Africa?
It's Formula VW. It's a pretty good series, just to keep fresh while we try and, as I say, this year we had planned on doing Formula 2 again, and then when the series fell through, it was really short notice to now try and get sponsorship to do other series. So that's why it left us kind of in the dark. So this year we're just doing odd races here and there to keep sharp, and we're working on a few different things for next year.
Is the South African race at one of my favorite tracks, Kyalami?
There is actually one later on in the year which I can't wait for because, yeah, that's going to be awesome. That's going to be crazy, to be honest.
Which track are you racing at?
I'm going to do this another four rounds. So we're going to do Pakisa, Swartkops, Kyalami, and then I think the last one is in Kilani in Cape Town.
Yeah, okay. They've got a few tracks there, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you know, lately there was some reports that they may have a Formula One race in Cape Town Street Circuit. Do you have any inside info on that?
I know there's a lot of people trying to do it. There's a few groups of people that are trying to, you know, put it together. But as you're aware of, to get a Formula One event to come to a country is such a huge, huge project. So I think there's still a lot of investment that needs to go into it and a bit more time, which I hope that there eventually is one because, you know, Africa is now pretty much the only continent where there isn't an F1 race. So it'd be great to have F1 back there.
Yeah. Okay, now, you are working with this group called Starting Grid, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is the same group of people that you had tried once before to try to put together a deal in America?
No, the people we had worked with before was a group called 2XR Racing. Unfortunately, that never materialized. Starting Grid, we actually only just got in contact with them earlier in the year, in February, and the company is owned by Chris Miles. Mm-hmm. At the moment, their projects are being funded by American Honda. So, yes, completely different people, no relation at all.
Okay, good. Okay, so that's great. Now, tell us a little bit. Obviously, if you do Indy Lights here, you will try to do the same thing next year and hopefully move on to IndyCar. Now, let's talk a little bit about your season last year, Formula 2. How did that go for you?
I mean, that was a big learning curve because we went from Formula BMW out for 2 years and then bang, straight into F2. So from 140 horsepower car to 500 horsepower was a huge jump. But I was surprised on how quickly we learned and progressed because from the second round, we were constantly in the top seven, which was good. And I think towards the end of the year, as I was getting more and more practice in the car, in Monza, I felt like I was almost close to where I was before I stopped racing. And, we were en route for a front row start. Unfortunately, we ran out of fuel on our quickest lap, which was, you know, just a coincidence. But overall, the whole weekend was a really strong weekend. We were fast in all the races. We were racing well. So it was really, really good, especially towards the end of the year. As I say, Monza, Hungary, we had good events. They, you know, we're racing on really, you know, amazing tracks and tracks that the Formula One race on. So it was a good experience. And I think the F2 car was a car that was underrated by a lot of people. Even by myself until I got there and saw it. It was a very impressive car. So I was quite sad when the series was cancelled for this year because I feel we could have been very strong in it this year.
Okay. Now, you have done some testing, I understand, right?
Yes.
How many tests have you done and what tracks?
In Indy Lights, we did 2 days at Mid-Ohio and 1 day at Putnam Park, which was just more for a refresher rather than actually testing. I don't know if you know Putnam Park very well, but...
Of course I do.
sorry. But... Yeah, it's a small track, as you know. So, and the tire dig on it is so bad on the front left. So you could only get maybe 8 to 10 laps on each of the tires before they would go away so badly. So we couldn't get. I wanted to simulate some race distance, which we couldn't. But you know, it was good. Just so you know, it's not too long since I've been in the car. It's only going to be about 10 days.
Okay. Now, what was your first impression of the Indy Lights car?
The first, like, very first thing is there's lots of space in the cockpit. So you get lots of wind coming and it's almost, it hits your, like your chest and, which I never experienced in any other car.
Is it a race car or a minivan?
It's a bit of both. It's a very heavy car.
Yeah, it sure sounds like a SUV. Let me tell you that.
It's an extremely heavy car, but, you know, once you get the hang of it, it's actually quite fast. It's not to the level of the F2 car by any means, but because it is fairly old, I think they're planning on upgrading it next year and probably in 2015 a new car. But once you get the hang of it, you know, it's fairly fast in the fast corners. In the slow corners, it's really lazy because you have to throw the weight around. But, you know, it's quite a fun car to drive. I'm not complaining, put it that way.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm glad you're going with Brian Herta because, some years ago he was a young man like you trying to make things happen, and he did very well, drove for Chip Ganassi and also for Bobby Rahal. And I think he's a very good person for you to have as a mentor or a driver coach or whatever he can do for you.
Sorry, Karen.
And his son is also pretty quick in karting.
Exactly. I mean, he's been great because not only as a team owner, he can, as you say, driver coach me. He was an amazing driver when he was racing. So he's helped me a lot in that sense. When we get to Mid Ohio, we'll do a track walk together. He's obviously got loads and loads of stuff he can teach me about it because he's been there, he's been competitive there. So he's a really good guy. And as well as that, the team are just, I don't think I've ever gelled this well with any other team. You know, I get on with all the guys like they're my brothers. So I'm really happy with the decision they made with which team to run with.
How do you find the chicas in America?
The chicks?
California, we call them chicas.
I haven't heard that one before. No, I mean, I've been focusing on my job, but it has not been bad at all.
Oh, I'm totally buying that.
No, I mean, it's been good. As I say, everyone's really friendly. Yeah. I've had an awesome time while I've been here.
Yeah. And, you know, here is the deal for you. Next time, I know right now you're short on time. Next time you come to the US of A, extended period, you are invited to fly to San Jose or San Francisco on a weekend, and I'll pick you up and I'll take you to Laguna Seca, which is a fantastic track in a fantastic part of California.
Thank you, Nasir. I look forward to that. In fact, I was quite, you know, I upset that I didn't get a chance to go there this time because I've watched that track and the corkscrew, and I wanted to go there for ages. Thanks.
Yeah, sure. You're very welcome. And, you know, there are some places you have to check out here. Like I said, New York City, Las Vegas, the Arizona desert is fantastic. So you're going to have a great time here.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, if I may ask, in terms of this testing, and I know this is first time in early days, but how were your times compared to other guys?
Well, when we were at Putnam Park, it was just myself and another rookie. So it was a bit unfair to compare against him. But when we practiced in Mid-Ohio, there was Carlos Munoz, Zach Veach, and one or two other drivers in the Indy Lights. So, you know, there was no one better to compare against than Carlos. He's leading the championship, and he was quick. He is the quickest at the moment on a road course. And on old tires, we were very quick. We were as quick as him, sometimes quicker.
Good.
I was surprised. I wasn't expecting that. Because it was my first time in the car. And then when we had the new tires on, he was slightly quicker than me, maybe about 2 or 3 tenths quicker. So we still have a bit of work to do. I just wasn't getting the most out of the tires in the first 3 or 4 laps, which is when they were at their best. So that's something we have to work on for next week, try and optimize qualifying, because it's quite hard to overtake in the lights cars. But I know our race pace will be strong.
Oh, yeah, that's good. You know what they say in racing, you first have to finish. So I think this is going to work out very well, and I'm very happy as a fan of Axel Jeffries that you are making this move. It's a smart move, and I wish you all the best. A question about the series. Recently it was announced that, you know, IndyCar Racing used to run this series, and they sold the series to Mr. Anderson, who has done a very good job with Star Mazda, and I believe he also runs the U.S. Formula 2000 championship.
Yes.
Do you know anything what the series will be called? Will they retain the name, or what are we looking at as far as the, you know?
To be honest, I haven't heard too much on the changes that are going to be made. I believe there will be some substantial changes. Definitely he's going to try and up the numbers in the series, hopefully bring the costs down as well. But I don't think anything had been made official yet. So, I personally haven't had anything yet.
Okay. And what else you want to tell our listeners about Axel Jeffries, what you've been doing this season so far?
As I said, this season, I plan on just doing odd events here and there just to keep fresh. I'm looking forward to going back to South Africa and racing as well, because it's been, you know, that's sort of where that was the platform that took me to where I am now. I started out there, I got huge support there, so I'm looking forward to going and racing there. And I know it's going to be tough as well. You know, the guys there are very impressive, so I look forward to going back there. Then as I say, I'm going to Victoria Falls straight after this week, next weekend, for the UNWTO, which is the United Nations World Tourism Organization. It's one of the biggest tourism events in the world. So I'm looking forward to that. It's at Victoria Falls, which is incredible. I don't know. Yeah, if you haven't been, it's something that you have to see, Nasser. It's you from 2-3 km away, you feel the vibration in the ground with the force of the falls.
Actually, I saw a picture of that on your own website, and I'm wondering, Mr. Jeffries, where is my invitation?
You didn't call me in time. If you called me in time, I would have organized it.
Where's the love? No, you know, it's. I'll tell you, I like traveling, and of course, my whole life is all about motor racing. But there are other things I want to see, and, you know, this Victoria Falls is definitely one of them. And I would love to go to other parts of Africa someday.
Yeah.
When I was growing up as a teenager, I was a huge, huge fan of the what was then called East African Safari Rally.
Yes.
Going through Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania. And, of course, you have Kyalami. And I don't know if the track at East London is still there. And I remember
Jim
racing there.
It is still there. In fact, Formula VW race there, and Super Series still go there.
Yeah, so one of these days, you know, when time is right, I'll make a run there, and maybe you can show me around your wonderful continent.
You have to. This is honestly, without being biased, I've traveled all over the world, and there's nowhere like Africa. It's just, there's something special about it, something that, you know, the rest of the world just doesn't have. And I mean, I love Asia. I've loved my time in America, certain parts of Europe, but it's just something special about Africa. I mean, maybe it's home for me, but it's just something special.
No, it's just a fascinating, very fascinating. You know, they say there's always something new out of Africa. And it's a fascinating continent, no question about it. Okay, now going back to your website, okay, which is also very fascinating. It says that you almost had a deal to do GP2 with Caterham this year.
Yeah, in fact, that was quite exciting, because after F2 got cancelled, we tried to, you know, see which was the next best option, and we were looking at either GP3 or GP2. But our partners at the time were more interested in the exposure that we'd get in GP2, because obviously it supports the F1, et cetera. And we were in advanced talks with Caterham. We're trying to put a deal together, but just unfortunately with timing and everything, It just didn't work out. But it's something that, you know, we could still work on in the future. And hopefully, if that is the case, we would have all the deals sorted out way in advance, so it would give us time to do preseason testing and catch up on what we've missed.
Now, you already know, here at F1 Weekly, we like to give free advice, whether it's asked for or not. So I'm going to have a little tip here, racing tip. And, you know, it's up to you how far you can run with it. Honda, major corporation, they're doing all sorts of stuff. You know, here in the U.S., we have two major races in the early part of the season, Daytona, 24 hours. And I went there this year. Man, you have to go to this event. It's fantastic race, absolutely awesome facility. And then we have this world-famous Sebring 12 hours.
Yes.
And I think you should use your contacts at Honda to get some sort of a seat time, because 24-hour race, they need a lot of drivers. And I'm sure
there's
a few Honda HPD cars. So this is the free tip of this podcast to you.
No, thank you, Nasser. I can guarantee you I'm going to make the most of my contacts there.
Yeah, good, very good. Okay, so let's hear about Axel Jeffries, the young man, not the racer, what kind of music you're listening to. And you talked about going to Asia. Do you like Thai food, Malaysian food, homey food, which would be Indian, Pakistani food?
I actually, out of all the Asian foods, I love Indian food. You know, even at my home, my mom always cooks curries, and we have a slight Indian heritage on my dad's mom's side, so my grandma. So we still eat a lot of Indian food. I love Indian food. I'm not, you know, I don't mind Chinese food, but when I'm there, I always try and find some nice curries and stuff like that. But my most favorite place in Asia is Malaysia by a long way. I don't know why, I just feel comfortable there. It feels almost like home. I don't know why, it's just I absolutely love it.
Well, talking of Malaysia, I was there in March for the Grand Prix.
Okay, nice. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I loved it, and the weather was so fantastic.
Yeah, it's. And I mean, I actually stayed there for about about 7 or 8 months in Malaysia when I was racing in Formula BMW.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school there as well. It's a special place as well.
It's very nice, and I'm a huge fan of Malaysian food. And you know, when you come here, we're going to treat you to some Chinese Mongolian beef, and you're going to say, "Oh, Chinese food is very good."
Yeah, I look forward to it. No, that would be good.
Good, good. So, man, I wish you all the best, and please stay in touch.
And, I will do.
We will follow. I mean, I've been following your career anyway, but we'll keep a tab on you, see what you're up to. And anytime you want to get on the air with F1 Weekly, just shoot me an email. And
no, thank you.
We will connect.
Thanks, Nasser. I look forward to it, and hopefully next week I'll have some good news to talk about.
Absolutely, and let F1 Weekly announce it to the world, please.
No, for sure. Thanks, Nasser.
Okay, thank you. Cheers.
Have a good weekend and enjoy the F1 tomorrow.
Talking of F1, you want to see win the championship?
You know, I'm a big Lewis fan, but I don't think anyone's going to stop Vettel this year. He's been so dominant.
Yeah, I think 4-4 is happening.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would love to see Lewis win it, but in reality, I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay, now tell me something. Among the drivers, I just want to see how you look at drivers. Among the drivers who are not in Formula 1 today, let's just take a couple of series, GP2, World Series by Renault, and maybe GP3.
Yeah.
Who do you think is real good talent from those series who can make it in Formula 1?
You know, there's actually a lot of good drivers out there. In GP2, at the moment, Nasser hasn't won a race, Felipe Nasser, but I think for sure he's someone that will, without a doubt, end up in Formula 1 very soon.
You know, he's my long-distance cousin.
Yeah?
Yeah, of course.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we were just separated by a few continents at birth.
Okay.
No, I'm so happy you said that, because I totally agree with you, and I've met him a few times, hang out with him and his peeps. Fantastic kid and a very good racing talent.
No, for sure. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He never does any silly things. He's, especially this year, I mean, I don't know if you've watched most of the GP2 races, but he's made sure he stayed out of trouble. And I think even though he hasn't won races, I have a feeling he's going to be Coletti to the championship.
Yeah, today it was very surprising. Coletti was nowhere to be seen. And it will be great to have a first Brazilian GP2 champion.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Let's give another name, please.
GP3 is filled with talent at the moment. There's so many good drivers in GP3. Someone that I raced against when karting most of my career, and I rated him extremely highly, was Kevin Kourjus. We always fought for championships together, and we went to the World Championship in karting. We fought hard, and he's someone that I've rated, and he's a very close friend of mine as well. And he's someone that, given the right opportunity as well, I think he could make it to the top. But there's a good 5 or 10 drivers in both of those series that can do it.
This really proves the point, great minds think alike. I have a similar feeling about Kevin Kourjus, and I'm so surprised that when he did World Series by Renault a few years ago, in his rookie season, he was very impressive.
Yeah.
And now the mojo is missing right now.
I think if you look at a lot of the guys that were strong in World Series the year before the new car came out, struggled with the new car. I mean, look at Rossi as well. He had done well. The new car came out, he struggled. So I think, you know, they had to change their driving technique a little bit, which, you know, took them a bit of time. But, you know, Kevin, he's been fast this year in qualifying. He's had a few poles. He's, I think, he's been on the podium at least once or twice this year. But I think, you know, just given a bit of time, he'll shine. He's a talent.
Yeah. Now, were you at the Pirelli Demolition Derby at Silverstone this year?
No, I wasn't. I was in the States.
And have you watched any of the F1 races in person this year?
No. It's actually one of the few years I haven't. I haven't been to any F1 races this year.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you, when these cars go, when they do the grid formation, when they're getting out of the pit lane, to do the inspection lap or whatever it is called, right before the race, the sound and the engine revving they're doing at that time, that is like, wow.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Absolutely. Okay, Axel, I'm going to let you go. Enjoy some burgers, not cheeseburgers. Great weekend, and we will stay connected for sure.
Thank you, Nasser. Same to you. Have a good weekend, and I'll give you a call next weekend to let you know how things go.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Ciao, ciao.
All right. Cheers, Nasser. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Axel, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com.
Janaput listeners, this is Desiree back again with 50 words on the Hungarian Grand Prix. Your chance to join the forum and post your 50 words or less, and we will read them on the Racecast. Let us start off with Neon Zapper. I don't know what Vettel and Horner are thinking by blaming button slowness for Vettel's bad pass. And finally, Lewis has learned to focus without Nicole in his life. Thank you. And from Rat Hump. Congratulations, Lewis, on your win and the move from McLaren to Mercedes. You look pretty smart now. Exciting driving from Romain. How can they give him a drive-through penalty for a great pass? Kimi keeps his cool, holding off Seb. Thank you. And from Shahasin, says, Lewis remembers he's here to drive a car. Vettel has to play third fiddle for a change. Meanwhile, Mercedes reminds us of the old days of the Cosworth DFV, when you could rely on several expensive self-destructions per race. Long time since we've had a really impressive immolation. Thank you. And from Jackson. Grosjean's bad pass on Button was cancelled out by a good pass on Massa, but unfortunately the stewards deny him. And from Ye says, that was a good race. Predictable tires which allowed for some differing strategies and no apparent fuel saving or other such silliness. Can't wait for Spa and the F1 Weekly Familia road trip. And lastly, for myself, my 50 words or less. I say, it may have been hot in Hungary, but Lewis was too cool as he took the top trophy for his new team. Kimi did his thing, but his racy teammate Romain got pinched with a penalty for a pass. Happy to see the Pratt on the lowest step, and laughed when he was locking up brakes and burning rubber trying to pass the Kimster. Well, there you have it, and there you go, your 50 forum words. Bye-bye.
So there you have it, Nass. Any final words? Are you doing any vacationing? Oh, you're preparing for Spa. And, of course, let's talk about our standalone interview with a very interesting person, Mark Priestley.
Yes,
we've interviewed him before, a former mechanic at McLaren and now a journalist. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, it's a standalone, about a 45-minute conversation. Mark Priestley, he is now doing some freelance journalism, worked at McLaren Formula One team for many years, and has a lot of stories, a lot of technical feedback that he can share with us. So my great thanks to him. And a couple of very good things are happening in life. Thanks to F1 Weekly, of course, and the charming host all the way from Perpignan, wherever he comes from. First is Moi has been granted media access to Happy Dos and Happy Tres, so that will allow us more access. Peter Windsor has very kindly agreed to meet me in the GP2 paddock because I told him I cannot get to the F1 area. So if stars align, we will have a sit-down, nice conversation with Peter Windsor. The man has tremendous knowledge and experience in motor racing, especially concerning Arnage. So we look forward to that, and we have also sort of agreed to meet Mark Priestley at Spa. So it's going to be a fantastic trip. I'm leaving on the 20th. You're also flying that day some other place, and I'll be back in a week. Looking forward to a lot of interviews and catching up with certain people who have been good to us. And I'll see if I can get access to Jules Bianchi. He's a gentleman who used to manage his affairs, my old friend, Mr. Olivier Menou. He will also be at Spa. So I will try to, if we can get a 5-minute chat with a Formula One driver, be it Bianchi or Gutierrez, that would be great, but it's kind of hard because there are so many demands on these people. But it should be a great time, and I've never been to Spa before, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I
always say, bon voyage, enjoy Spa.
Merci beaucoup.
For sure. And I want to tell the listeners, stay tuned for next week's podcast, which will be number 634 for the standalone interview with Mr. Mark Priestley. Nass, thanks. I want to thank all the listeners for listening. Good night.
Bye-bye.